Big injuries. Hope it did not screw up your fantasy football season too badly. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. This episode is supported by Stamps.com, where you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. A great offer right now, people. For a four-week trial, a special $110 bonus offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and type in the promo code FFT. Oh, man. I have to apologize. I have to start off the podcast with an apology. It's 1:55 p.m. Eastern on Monday. This is the second podcast I've recorded today. The first one had a whole bunch of audio issues.
The first one had an injury.
Yeah, it did have an injury.
Fitting with the week's theme.
First one pulled a Dalton, and I couldn't hear any of the issues until I listened back to it. It was not good enough for air. So basically it was Chris Towers' fault.
I think that's fair. I think that's always fair.
This is Chris Towers of Daily Fantasy Live. He was on this podcast a couple months ago, so it's great to have you back, Chris, and I appreciate you stepping up. Really do.
It's great to be back. I'm glad to talk football with you, Adam, and hopefully I can do a good enough job filling in.
Well, we're gonna kind of super speed it up, so I'm not gonna do the full notes like we did for the original podcast that was over an hour long. We only have about 35 minutes to get through all the games. But let me ask you this, Chris. I proposed something to Heath and Nick earlier today. Nobody's going to hear it, but I did propose it. I think it would be cool to be able to draft, instead of drafting Andy Dalton, you draft Bengals quarterback. Bengals quarterbacks.
It
exists.
Yeah, that's a setting that you can do on CBSSports.com commissioner leagues. For sure.
I know that.
Yeah.
Wow, that way if you lose Dalton in the first quarter, at least you get the Karen stats.
Yeah.
They were not down for this, though. They thought bad idea.
Well, I guess it takes some of the... That would have been great for me, because I'm a Ben Roethlisberger owner who started Landry Jones during that one game. So I would have really appreciated that setting.
It's just frustrating if your guy gets hurt, you know, during the game, early in the game. Now, it's different than... You know, Bengals running backs because they're multiple fantasy viable guys. Bengals wide receivers is different.
Yeah.
So I'd be cool with it. Anyway, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com is the email address. I want to read an email. It comes from Disgruntled from Mendota Heights, Minnesota. And Disgruntled says, would you believe me if I told you that in round one of the playoffs, Amari Cooper put up two catches for 25 yards? Actually, what if I told you that stat was Amari and Dez combined? No, what if I told you that was Amari, Dez, and Calvin Johnson combined? Awesome. See you later, season.
Yeah. I mean, I've got some tales of bad beats here if we want to get into that, and I'm sure we don't.
I'd love to. No, come on, share a bad beat.
Well, I'm in a league with, it's not even really a bad beat as so much as it's just a ridiculous season. I'm in a league with my college buddies, and one of them works with us at CBS, Igor, if he listens to this. He made, and I don't blame him for making the trades, because they're good trades for him, but I'm going to tell you some of the trades he made. To keeper league, he acquired Antonio Brown for Carlos Hyde post-injury and Sammy Watkins.
Okay.
All right. He acquired Drew Brees for LeGarrette Blount after the first week of the season.
Okay.
And... there was one other really bad one, and I can't remember it. His team, I lost to him in the first round of the playoffs, and I'm never going to get over it because his team is shenanigans.
What? It doesn't sound so bad. Breeze and Antonio Brown?
There's another one, and it's even worse once you hear that third one.
Well, you suck, Igor. Hope you're listening. I got to run through the big notes here, Chris, and I feel bad for Disgruntled. That stinks to have Cooper, Dez, and...
yeah.
Although I can't say I'm too surprised that Cooper and Dez struggled, but more on that. We'll do MVPs and LVPs. We'll look at the leaderboard from Fantasy Week 14 and go through every game. But Andy Dalton fractured his thumb. According to ESPN, he's going to miss the rest of the regular season.
Oh, I remember what the other one was.
Oh, hit me.
He got LeSean McCoy for Carlos Williams.
What?
During that time when LeSean McCoy had the hamstring injury. He got LeSean McCoy. Yeah. Yeah. Shenanigans, Igor.
Shenanigans. So Dalton likely out for the year. What effect do you think this has on AJ Green, on Tyler Eifert, who actually has a concussion? Bengals offense in general.
I definitely am most concerned about Eifert, partially because of concussion, partially because he's been so touchdown dependent. And if their offense isn't going to be as efficient and it's not going to get as many red zone opportunities, I'm not sure how much value he's going to have. He's someone that it's great that he scored as many touchdowns as he has, but it's hard to sustain that without consistent production elsewhere.
I also think it's bad for Jeremy Hill because if they trail in games, that's when we don't see Jeremy Hill, and this is not going to help them stay ahead. And look, you're not starting Jeremy Hill in week 16 at Denver, but this upcoming week is a different story. They have San Francisco on the road. That'll be a more interesting decision, but it can't be a good thing. I know AJ Green caught that touchdown, but I don't know if I'm going into this game at San Francisco thinking AJ Green is AJ Green, you know?
Yeah, I don't think you view him as AJ Green, but I think that still makes him startable. This probably takes Marvin Jones off the table as a quasi-startable option. I would feel okay about Jeremy Hill in week 15 against San Francisco just because they've been so bad against the run.
Mostly on the road, though. They're much better at home against the run.
Yeah, but I feel like you don't give up 145 yards to Isaiah Crowell just because of geography.
All right, well, T.J. Yeldon hurt his knee, and he was on his way to a good game, so Denard Robinson is going to be somebody that you want to look into. They have Atlanta this upcoming week at home. Thomas Rawls out for the year with a broken ankle. DeJuan Harris did not play all that well, but he got a lot of carries. He got 18 carries after Rawls got 6. Todd Gurley left with a knee injury. He has a Thursday night game against Tampa Bay. Does not seem too concerned, and LeGarrette Blount left in the first half with a hip injury. Jonathan Stewart left with a foot injury. They expect him to be okay for the Giants game this weekend. If not, you got Fozzie Whitaker. So I know today's not waiver wire. I almost called you Heath, but I'll call you Chris instead. Chris, I know today isn't the waiver wire show officially, but all these backup running backs that are going to be thrust into bigger roles, which one interests you? And I will say that Nick really likes Brandon Bolden. I don't know if he likes him the most, but he likes Brandon Bolden a lot. He said on the first podcast recording.
With the way Seattle's offense is rolling, I would probably, and the fact that he's most guaranteed of a role among the guys we've talked about, everybody else seems kind of questionable to play. DeJuan Harris at this point at 2:01 PM on Monday afternoon, DeJuan Harris would be the guy. 18 carries. He didn't do much with them, but Seahawks offense is rolling. Russell Wilson's ability to run the ball makes his running backs more threatening, so I would go with him.
Here's a fun little stat about Brandon Bolden, though, who's 19% owned. He has had 5 games in his career before yesterday with more than 6 carries, and
okay.
Bolden has scored a touchdown in 4 of them. I think it is a pretty irrelevant stat, but I think it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good offense. It's a great offense to be a part of because they will give their running backs goal line opportunities. Yeah. He's worth picking up, I guess, if LeGarrette Blount's not playing. He's definitely someone worth picking up. I'm not sure how great I feel about starting him just because the Patriots tend to be wholly unpredictable in how they use their running backs anyway.
James White did get the goal line carry last night, and he scored the touchdown. Now it was third down and goal, I think. We actually saw the Texans are taking their big guys off the field and expecting pass, and of course Brady hands it off to James White and scores.
Yep.
Pretty smart play there. Other injuries to keep an eye on. Spencer Ware left with bruised ribs. Greg Olsen left with a knee injury. Doesn't seem serious. And Vincent Jackson hurt his knee. And while we're at it, DeSean Jackson, he might not play this upcoming week against Buffalo. All right, let's do fantasy MVP and LVP, or as many as you want here, Chris. Guys that stood out to you, let's start with your MVP for fantasy week 14.
I'm going to go with Russell Wilson, the obvious one, another 5-touchdown game. I think that's 16 touchdowns in his last 4 games.
No interceptions.
The receiving core hasn't improved. If anything, it's gotten worse. And it's going to be used as an indictment of Jimmy Graham. I don't think it's somehow the case that if Jimmy Graham was healthy, Russell Wilson wouldn't have done this. I think he would have been just as good, if not better. But it's a testament to how much Russell Wilson has improved, and really Doug Baldwin as well. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, Doug Baldwin. All he needs, 7 targets, and he's good every time he gets 7 targets pretty much the last 2 seasons. Yeah, so Wilson is on an unbelievable run right now. And last 4 games, 31, 44, 39, and 41 fantasy points. You know, some of it's been matchup, but like at Minnesota, we weren't expecting that. And I mean, forget the matchups. He's just playing great. And Chris, what I find so amazing here, this is actually maybe more relevant to DeJuan Harris, is he's not throwing any more passes. Week one of the season, he threw more than 32 passes. That's the only time all year that Russell Wilson has thrown more than 32 passes. He's still right around 30. They're still running the ball. They're just offensively, they are firing on all cylinders, and Tyler Lockett. You know, I didn't buy it with Tyler Lockett. Jamie was making the case. I didn't think it was going to happen. Why couldn't it be Jermaine Kearse? But Jamie nailed that one. So I don't know. It's just overall, it's just amazing what's going on there in Seattle. And they've got another great matchup with Cleveland this week.
Yeah, you almost wonder if that might be an opportunity for them to not throw the ball, but then you would have thought that against Baltimore, and they still threw the ball 32 times, and Russell Wilson still had 5 touchdowns. So I'm not sure you're worried about matchups or blowouts at this point.
Any other MVPs you want to bring up?
What about yours?
Well, okay, I had some running backs on my mind, and Eddie Lacy would be the first one.
Yeah, I would argue that he is the opposite of an MVP.
Just this week? What do you mean?
This week, great, but...
Oh, yeah, this week.
I missed the playoffs because I started Eddie Lacy last week after benching him the previous 2 weeks when he was good, so of course he came back and was good.
This is sour grapes. You can't take that. You can't blame Eddie. I mean, you can blame Eddie Lacy for that, but you can blame week 13 Eddie Lacy, not week 14 Eddie Lacy.
Oh, it's a different guy.
It is a different guy. Well, it's a guy who's playing.
Yeah.
Now, look, James Starks still had a role, and in fact, Starks had a better game.
Yeah.
Because he scored 2 touchdowns, but this is really Lacy's backfield now. Now, Chris, tell me your thoughts on this. Mike McCarthy takes over as play caller. First 4 plays of the game offensively for the Packers are handoffs to Eddie Lacy. He goes over 100 yards. That's 3 out of 4 games with 100 rushing yards. And the only game he didn't get that was, of course, when he got benched. Look, he's getting it done right now. I mean, Eddie Lacy is now back to being what we thought we were getting from him, right?
Yeah, and I guess he's just a second half player. Cause that's what, 3 years in a row now where he's been huge in the second half of the season. And I don't know, maybe he has to play himself into shape every season, but it keeps happening. And right now I think, yeah, he's looking like a must start player.
They've got Oakland on the road and then at Arizona. I mean, it's a little scary in week 16 at Arizona, but if he has another good game, there's no way you're getting away from him. Now the other one was Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley is a little bit more interesting to me because whereas Eddie Lacy had this huge game and now like he's back and everybody's going to be loving Lacy, Gurley reminded you of just how good he could be, but I don't know how confident I feel with him, at least in week 16 at Seattle. This upcoming week, Thursday night against Tampa Bay, if he's playing, I think it's going to be hard to get away from Todd Gurley, but it's less obvious of a start than Lacy.
I don't think there's any way you're sitting him in week 15 as long as he's not expected to be limited. Seattle, you know, you worry about the matchup because you look at the games that he struggled in. He had a tough matchup against Cincinnati and a tough matchup against Arizona. He only had 41 and 19 yards in those 2 games. Those were his worst 2 games since the opener. However, the game against Arizona was more about the workload. He averaged 4.6 yards per carry. It was his best since week 8. So it's more about the workload. Do we think Seattle's offense can keep going like this and blow the Rams out? That would be my bigger concern more than...
I kind of think they will get blown.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
That was the case I was making for Gurley this week. I don't think I loved him because Detroit has been playing so well against the run. But the last 2 games for Gurley before this week, 9 carries in each game. But he played the Bengals and he played the Cardinals and both games got away from the Rams. They were blowouts. So I knew this would be a closer game. I didn't think the Rams would win. And this upcoming week on a Thursday night against Tampa Bay, I think that will be close enough where he'll get his 15, 16 carries, if not more. At Seattle, going to be a different story. But we can worry about that then, Chris.
Yeah.
How about LVP, least valuable player? You got a nominee?
Well, everybody expected Jameis Winston to have a great game against the Saints because the Saints are magic for opposing quarterbacks, and that did not really happen. I think Jameis is at a point, weirdly, where he's a better real-life quarterback than he is a fantasy quarterback.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, he was started only in 53% of leagues, but that's actually a lot, considering there are owners that own Jameis Winston that were out of the playoff, you know? So they bought in Mike Evans. You could nominate him as an LVP, too, Chris. You know, what's your take on that situation?
Well...
Bad game?
I think Evans is... is more of just a bad game, because we've seen him be very good for most of this season. It hasn't been super consistent. Hasn't topped 70 yards in any of his last four games now, and I think that's the concern there, I guess, is just that there isn't a ton of volume in Tampa Bay. They don't want Jameis Winston throwing the ball 40 times if they can help it. They want to run Doug Martin heavily. So I'm not terribly worried about Evans, but it's definitely a disappointing game against New Orleans. And then he comes into a Thursday night matchup where we assume passing games are going to be diluted a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. If you look at his game logs and those yards you were mentioning, there's a big difference with Vincent Jackson and without Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
Because without Vincent Jackson, this guy's over 100 yards consistently.
Yep.
So it's a big injury for Mike Evans. He's a much better fantasy receiver when Vincent Jackson's not playing.
And that makes sense, because him and Vincent Jackson are... Evans, I think, is a better version of it, but they're very similar players. They're both very big targets who go down the field. A lot of their targets come down the field. And so when that target volume's there, when he's not getting... You know, he was getting 9, 12, 19, 13 targets with Jackson out. He's only had one over 7 in the last four games. He needs, you kind of, with the way they throw the ball downfield, they're kind of low percentage, high risk throws. And so you want as many chips. It's like a, what's the spinning game? A roulette wheel?
Dreidel?
No, the roulette. You want as many chips down. On different, I have no idea what I'm talking about as far as gambling. I don't think there's chips in roulette, but you want as many opportunities for those high risk, high reward plays.
You put chips down on where you bet in roulette, but then they put a ball on the wheel.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah. So that
makes sense. I've never been to Vegas.
That's a shame. You need to fix that problem.
I don't know if Vegas is my kind of speed.
Vegas is whatever you make it out to be. It doesn't have to be crazy.
Alright.
Last time I went to Vegas, I barely did anything crazy. Just had some good food.
Alright.
A bunch of strippers and, yeah. anyway, my LVPs, I'll give you two more wide receivers, Calvin Johnson and Dez Bryant, both with, extremely disappointing days. Calvin Johnson gets New Orleans on the road next week. That is nice, but one catch for 16 yards, and Dez Bryant, he dropped what probably should have been a touchdown. It was not a great throw, but on their opening possession,
it
goes off his hands in the end zone.
It makes me think a little bit of the game Demaryius Thomas had in, I think, Brock Osweiler's first game as a starter, where he had just the one catch for like 36 yards, and there was a lot of questions about whether it was Osweiler or whether it was Thomas not going out for balls that he maybe had a chance for and didn't give maybe his all on them. I think that's... There's a little bit of difficulty in keeping yourself intrinsically motivated when you're playing with a bad quarterback, I would guess.
And a bad foot that's not 100%.
Yeah, and so with Calvin, I have no concerns about Calvin Johnson. I think he will be absolutely fine. There's no way I'm sitting him against New Orleans. I don't think there's any way you can really start Dez Bryant.
Agreed. Against the Jets?
Yeah, I mean, against anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned this. I'm in one league, and thankfully I'm still in it, even though I had a bad week. I've got four receivers that I start over Dez Bryant. So we're at that point. Those receivers are Hopkins, Amendola. Now, if Edelman comes back, that might change, but
yeah.
Hopkins, Amendola, Martavis Bryant, and Sammy Watkins. It's just no brainer. It's like, I don't even consider Dez Bryant. And
yeah.
Beavis this week, I can't do it. Can't do it. All right, Chris. I want to tell everybody about Stamps.com. Great offer and a great time of year for this. Perfect time of year to get on Stamps.com, because you get a 4-week trial if you sign up with our promo code FFT. Small businesses, if you're in operation this month, it can really be a hassle. It can really be a waste of time to go to the post office for mailing and shipping needs. So what you want to do is use Stamps.com. Look, if you go to the post office, you got to deal with people sending out their holiday packages. You got to deal with long lines, long waits. Stamps.com, you get your postage whenever you want for any letter or any package right from your desk the instant you need it. It's a much better way. It's a much smarter way. Over 500,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com. Join them. Never go to the post office again. Now, right now, if you sign up and use our offer code FT, you get this special offer. You get this 4-week trial, as I mentioned, and a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in FFT, that is stamps.com, enter FFT. I'll run down the news and notes. Brian Hoyer, concussion. TJ Yates could start at Indianapolis. He did score 19 fantasy points against the Jets. I doubt anybody will be using Yates in the 18. Matt Hasselbeck left with a rib injury. It's probably not going to be Andrew Luck. Let's hope it's Hasselbeck. Peyton Manning could return this week. Although we don't know. You know, we don't know about Manning. We don't know about Andrew Luck. I should say probably not on Luck.
That one's so interesting to me because when Osweiler took over, everybody said, well, it can't get any worse.
You know, I think Osweiler was getting a bad rap for yesterday. First of all, the pass protection was terrible. Khalil Mack at 5 sacks.
And it was a little rainy, right?
I don't remember. Okay. I think a little, but I don't remember. So Demaryius Thomas had a terrible drop on a big play. Vernon Davis had a terrible drop on a fourth down. That was a big play. He didn't play great, but I still think he's better than Peyton Manning.
I haven't been super impressed with Brock Osweiler. I think just from a fantasy perspective, I would prefer Osweiler to continue playing just because I think he's steadier.
Well,
you can predict what he's going to do with the offensive weapons around him a little more easier than you can with Peyton Manning.
And I think that means if it's Osweiler, I think you probably want to get away from Emmanuel Sanders at this point. You know, if I'm an Emmanuel Sanders owner, I'm probably hoping for Peyton Manning. But I would say this. I know they threw the ball 50 times in this game. They want to run the ball, and they couldn't run the ball. C.J. Anderson, to me, is a big winner this week, Chris, because Ronnie Hillman and Juwan Thompson did nothing with their opportunities. Yeah. I think if Anderson suits up this week, you know, I'd feel pretty good about it at Pittsburgh.
I think that makes sense. It's not a great matchup just because Pittsburgh could really blow the doors off Denver. I know Denver's defense is really good, but I think the Pittsburgh passing game might be matchup proof. So it wouldn't totally shock me if they blew them out in that game, or at least made it so that they can't rely on the rushing game so much.
Now, if you're catching on to Brian Hartline, who's having a really good finish and great in PPR as a number three receiver, out for the season with a collarbone injury. And Charles Clay hurt his back, and there were a bunch of defensive injuries that I'll skip and talk about on tomorrow's show. All right, top five from this week, Chris. We got top five quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Blake Bortles, 10 points behind Russell Wilson. Ryan Fitzpatrick with 30 fantasy points, Cam Newton with 28. And Carson Palmer and Drew Brees each scored 24 to tie for fifth. What stands out to you on that list other than Wilson?
Oh, Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't thrown an interception, I believe, in his last three games. He's someone that I've expected regression from all season, but he's got just a really solid, good receiving core that it may not happen.
And Bilal Powell's starting to get involved now.
Yep.
Now, the last four matchups for Fitzpatrick, last three matchups, 37, 29, and 30 fantasy points. He's been great. He's faced the Dolphins, the Giants, and the Titans. The Titans are basically as bad as it gets right now against the pass. They're just awful. Gets tougher now at Dallas this week. What do you think? Must start Ryan Fitzpatrick the way he's playing?
Oh, definitely not a must start, no. But certainly they won't need to run the ball or pass the ball in this game. And Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't been a terribly efficient quarterback. His yards per attempt is only 7.0, so if he's not throwing the ball a lot, you're not really likely to get a great game from him.
Of course, Marshall and Decker were great as always, but Marshall, I mean, they just didn't cover him on his long touchdown. They just had a mental mistake there. Okay, how about top five running backs? We have Gurley. We have Crowell!
Yeah.
26 fantasy points. This is all standard scoring, by the way. James Starks with 22. Eddie Lacy with 22. They scored the same amount of points. And D'Angelo Williams had 20. Actually, I think Lacy had 20. Regardless, this is your top five. Gurley, Crowell, Starks, D'Angelo, and Lacy.
My vindication for the fact that I drafted Isaiah Crowell in like 6 of 7 leagues.
Congratulations.
Finally worked out in week 14.
There's no way you started him.
No. Actually, I did start him in one.
Oh, good.
I started him and Todd Gurley.
Well, listen, people. The fun is over because Isaiah Crowell is at Seattle,
at
Kansas City, and home against Pittsburgh. Those three teams are all in the top five in fantasy points allowed to running backs.
Yeah, it's too bad you can't make trades anymore.
Yeah, he had a really tough slate of games, tough run defenses week after week. He finally took advantage, and his reward is at Seattle. D'Angelo's a must start, obviously. Is James Starks viable I'd never feel comfortable starting the other guy in a platoon.
Yeah. I mean, if so much of it. The fact that he had 100 all-purpose yards is really impressive, and I guess definitely viable in PPR. Can I just cop out there?
Sure.
All right, that's what I'll do.
Okay. Top five wide receivers this week. Doug Baldwin, Ted Ginn.
Yeah.
Who tried his best. He tried so hard to drop that first long touchdown. He just couldn't do it.
Cam Newton's playing so well, even Ted Ginn can't drop his passes.
Tyler Lockett, tied with Ted Ginn. Golden Tate, whenever Calvin doesn't do well, you know Tate's gonna do well. And AJ Green with 19 fantasy points. All right, what do you make of Ted Ginn and Tyler Lockett?
I would much rather play Tyler Lockett than Ted Ginn.
Now Ted Ginn is at the Giants, but that's actually a worse matchup than, what Lockett's got. He's got the Browns at home.
Yeah, just the catch and target volume for Lockett is more consistent.
I'm going to say though, because this shocked me and I'm glad you went there. Ted Ginn, 3 of his last 4 games, 8 targets or more. Except before this game. He only had 3 in this game.
Yeah, he also had, well, he had 1 with 10, he had 1 with 0, and then
1 with 0.
2 with 8, and it's just the fact that he scored 2 touchdowns in consecutive games is really good for the people who managed to start him in those 2 games. I just don't think that tells us anything moving forward.
Well, let's see how many people started him this week. 21% of them.
So great. Good. And I would guess maybe half of those guys started him in week 13. So some amount of people benefited, but I don't think it tells us anything about what he's likely to do in the future.
Okay. Top 5 tight ends from week 14. Standard scoring. Jordan Reed and Zach Miller faced off against each other. They put up the best game of any tight end against the Redskins or Bears this year. 18 fantasy points for Reed, and Miller had 14 fantasy points. Gronkowski, also 14. Barnage, also 14. And Julius Thomas had 11. Now, Miller is very interesting because Martellus Bennett didn't play. This is not the first time that Martellus Bennett didn't play, but the last time Bennett didn't play, Miller caught a touchdown, just like in this game. He only had 10 yards, though.
So yeah.
What do you think about Miller? This is a big game. It's over 80 yards and a touchdown.
I was so ready to declare the Zach Miller thing dead after 16 yards in 2 games. He basically had the one huge game and hasn't gone over 50 in any other game. And then this brings me back. I just have such a hard time buying into him with a complete lack of track record. But then I look at, like, Gary Barnage had the same exact thing, a long track record of doing nothing, and then all of a sudden got into the right offense, into the right role, and is playing really well. Maybe Zach Miller can be helpful down the stretch.
Yeah, and his matchups are not bad. At Minnesota, they tend to give up touchdowns to tight ends. Mm-hmm. At Tampa Bay, they give up the same amount of fantasy points this year to tight ends and as Minnesota. And then Detroit, if you play in week 17, which is also a good matchup. I have to look more closely at how Minnesota has done lately against tight ends. I'm not sure, but, you know, he's 57% owned. Miller's viable. Anything else here with the tight ends? You know, actually, I'll lead you into Julius Thomas, because one thing I had mentioned throughout the week was that Thomas and Hearns had not had good games at the same time.
And then they did.
And then they did, and it came actually at the expense of Allen Robinson, who only had 1 catch. Granted, it was a touchdown, but he had a bad game for his standards. Kind of weird. Yeah, I don't know what to expect from those 3 this week against Atlanta with Jacksonville.
I would expect more from Hearns and Robinson. I think Thomas is very much your classic tight end, and that when he scores a touchdown, he's fine. When he doesn't, he's pretty useless. But he's worth starting.
Hard to get away from a guy who's been this consistent at the tight end position.
And the Jaguars pass volume has been really high all season. I think this week was the first time they've really had an intermediate passing game. And I think it helps that they had Hearns, Thomas, and Robinson kind of all at full strength for, you know, not the first time all season, but one of the first times all season. And they played really well, and Bortles is throwing the ball a ton.
Okay. Chris, I had 2 buys this last week, week 14, and I lost both of them because I had Dalton in one league and Rawls in one league. So I lost my bye weeks, but, you know, the point is you don't have to worry about that on FanDuel. If you had some bad luck, if your season's over, or if you just want to keep on playing fantasy football, your season's still going, you want to keep doing well, it's time to start playing on FanDuel. And it's time to listen to Chris Towers on the Daily Fantasy Live podcast and video show. The video show is 4 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com every weekday, or you can catch it on demand. Now at Fan, they'll help you out. All about FanDuel, they'll help you out. On FanDuel, there's no commitment. It's 1 week leagues. They start at just $1. It's real money. They're paying out $2 billion this year. FanDuel is amazing. I love telling my friends. I love telling my relatives about FanDuel. I've got a number of people that started playing this year and they text me all the time and say, hey, who should I start this week in FanDuel? Here's my lineup. What do you think? So, you know, they love it. And I think you will too. If you haven't already started playing, keep playing or start now. Keep playing if you already are on FanDuel.com. I promise you it's easy. It's fun to set a lineup. And we can give you all the help that you want on our podcasts and our video shows. FanDuel.com, the leader in 1 week fantasy football. 5 minutes left. 15 games. 14 games, I think. I don't think we'll get to all of them. So I'll give you one talking point from each game and you tell me what you think. And I do want to apologize to all the listeners for the technical problems in the short podcast today. It really, upsets me. I really hate it. I feel an obligation to all of you, and that's why we recorded another one today, and I hate what happened, and I'm very sorry, and, you know.
I hate that they had to listen to me, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you got Chris Towers today. It's just, it's not right. Anyway, Philadelphia 23 and Buffalo 20. Eagles running backs, Dish.
Ugh. I'd prefer not to start any of them, but I guess if I had to start one, I might go with Ryan Matthews. I know Darren Sproles was more productive in this one, but Ryan Matthews had more work, 13 carries. I'm going to go with the guy who gets the most work.
Yeah, they had pretty much very similar snap counts, which is bad for fantasy owners, but Matthews got the most carries. Pittsburgh 33, Cincinnati 20. Any thoughts from this game? Pretty standard. I think we kind of covered it, but anything else?
Martavis Bryant did drop an absolutely beautiful touchdown pass from Ben Roethlisberger on the far side of the end zone from the broadcast. Would have made Ben Roethlisberger's game even better. It was a tough catch, but he had it. It was a perfect throw. And
he doesn't make tough catches.
He doesn't have to with Ben Roethlisberger throwing it to him too often.
That's my impression. I see him, you know, he's great after the catch.
Yeah.
Or before the catch. You know, he can just run by you. Don't forget that catch process, though. Some issues there. But, yeah, he's amazing. And Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown was a yard short of a touchdown, too. So yep. Roethlisberger only scored 9 fantasy points. And he's much better at home, at least in terms of fantasy production. But it could have been a bigger game, as it turns out. Carolina 38 and Atlanta nothing. What do you think about Devontae Freeman right now? He's going to Jacksonville. And he's been a little cold.
I'll definitely start him at Jacksonville. I think that's a no-brainer. But when looking, I was talking to someone this weekend about who might be the number one pick next season. I thought maybe Devontae Freeman, but he's just really like had really 6 great games where he scored a bunch of touchdowns. But you know, 1 touchdown in his last 6. The production's been pretty pedestrian. It's going to be really interesting to see what we do with him next season.
Well, you know, I still think he's in that mix.
Yeah. There's no obvious call.
Le'Veon Bell got hurt. Todd Gurley's slumping as well. I mean, I know this week was great.
Yeah.
But, I might go Gronkowski, quite honestly. I'm so tired of running backs. I'm just so tired of them.
Yeah.
Cleveland 24 and San Francisco 10. I was so disappointed with Anquan Boldin. You know, I really thought he was an underrated fantasy player. He gets a ton of targets. He had 13, I think, last week, and he had a bad game, but he almost scored. I thought he'd bounce back. I just thought that San Francisco would play better, but Boldin was awful, and he only had 3 targets. I can't really blame anyone for dropping him, but if you look at, like, the underlying stats, he's usually a double-digit target guy or close to it, and he's usually, like, an 80-yard guy. So, I don't know. Consider it. They've got Cincinnati at home. Chris, I'll go to our next game. It's the Jets 30 and the Titans 8. Anything from the Titans that you want to talk about?
Not surprised that Marcus Mariota struggled. I know, coming off a really big game, he's been, I don't know, weirdly, I feel like he's been consistently okay and the highs have been really high, but it's been so hard to predict when they would come.
His matchups just starting with the Jets game, not so great at New England.
Yes.
And if Mariota doesn't catch a 40-yard touchdown, he has a terrible game. He's a 10-point fantasy game. 41-yard touchdown catch to get him to 20. St. Louis 21 and Detroit 14. We talked Gurley. We talked Calvin. I think that's the... Oh, Stafford. Okay, so Stafford has not scored more than 19, only one road game with more than 19 fantasy points. So you could say I'd avoid him on the road, but he's at New Orleans this week.
Yeah.
So what gives?
I think you probably want to give him a chance if you have the opportunity, unless you have someone with a much better matchup. New Orleans has been so bad playing, and the fact that the game's inside, I think, kind of changes the home road situation.
Could have said that about this week, though, you know?
Yeah.
But the Rams are no Saints.
Yeah.
Washington 24, Chicago 21. You know, Matt Jones had 18 carries for a second consecutive game, but he fumbled, and he doesn't do much with it anyway. So I think, looking at the Bears, what did you make of the fact that Langford actually had one more carry than Forte? Forte did score the touchdown, though.
I think it's just a game flow thing, and I think they're both just going to split carries pretty evenly. So I would guess, if you had to guess who will get the most on any given week, Forte will, but they'll be, you know, Langford's not going away.
Ah, man, Chris, I feel so bad because I got to let you go here.
Yeah.
Get to nearly enough of the games. Is there anything else we missed? All right, tell you what, I'm going to go through the games. I'm going to tell you about some standouts. I want you to tell me in the next minute or two who excites you. Okay, so I'm just going to run down the list.
All right.
Tim Hightower, Willie Snead, Marcus Colston.
Hightower excites me, none of the other guys. Well, Snead's fine. Colston I have no interest in.
Hightower got 28 carries. Yeah. That is 28 carries. I don't care who his opponents are. That is somebody who you could consider starting. Let's see. Kansas City, Jeremy Maclin did not do much. There were not many standouts in this game, including those running backs.
Melvin Gordon is one of the worst, high draft pick rookies at running back ever.
Oh man, that's gotta be disputed. You mean NFL draft?
As NFL draft and as a rookie to get this much workload.
Oh man.
Like, it's insane. I think he has over 200 touches without a touchdown. That's crazy.
Oh, that is really bad. We talked about Seattle and Baltimore, Oakland, Denver. You know, I think things will get better. Oakland has played some tough teams lately.
Yeah.
They played Kansas City. They played Denver. So things should get a little better for them. But Amari Cooper, are you generally concerned about him? 5 straight games without a touchdown.
No. The target volume has been there more often than not. I think this is just a miserable matchup, and touchdowns tend to be really inconsistent anyway.
Randall Cobb, 8 catches, 81 yards on 11 targets. Are you encouraged by him?
It's hard to view him as anything more than like a really low end number 2 wide receiver.
Okay. And finally, we got the Patriots and the Texans, and we talked about Brandon Bolden. Brandon LaFell had a touchdown called back and came like 1 or 2 yards short of another touchdown. I was going to be so pissed, Chris, if it's finally the week that Brandon LaFell went nuts.
I have to say it's so predictable that Rob Gronkowski plays unexpectedly at an 8:30 start. Like, just, of course he did.
Yeah, that was impressive. And he caught 4 balls and one of them was a touchdown. And DeAndre Hopkins, I'll have more to say about DeAndre Hopkins, later in the week. I got to let Chris go, but bottom line is, you're still absolutely starting DeAndre Hopkins. He's not really dominating like he used to. Last 5 games, 9.2 targets per game. The first 8 games, 14 targets per game. And Hopkins has had exactly 5 catches in each of his last 5 games. So still a great player, still a number one. Unfortunately, lately, other than the Jets game, hasn't given you that big production.
Yep.
Chris, you stepped up today, and I appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry to all of our listeners. I truly am. We'll get better. Thank you for listening. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Gonna help all you people out this week, help you set your lineups. Back tomorrow with the waiver wire.
Good luck.